Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you, we need you. So much going on in the world today, Lord, we need you today more than we did yesterday. God, we need your love, we need your mercy, we need your protection, we need your covering, we need your guidance, we need your direction. So we just ask this morning, Lord, speak to us through the word, give us clarity, give us peace, give us rest, give us confirmation, challenge us, change us, convict us, transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit and the word of God. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we're trying our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Your word teaches us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to love, how to be humble, how to have courage, how to walk, how to talk. So God, speak to us this morning. God, give us a rhema word, a right now word that we can apply to our life that will help with the transformation process. So when we come out, we look more like you than we do ourselves. We want to decrease that you might increase in our life. Let us get out of the way so the Lord's will can be done. Bless your people to hear. Bless us to hear. Bless us to discern. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we pick up the message at John 6 and 50, you should have in your notes already. I encourage you to take notes, go home and study to see if those things were so. Study the word, not as a ritual or tradition or religion, but to see if it's accurate. Somebody's not just up giving their opinion, but it lines up with the word of God. So I always have notes on my notes, because God's always speaking. Somebody say amen. So we pick it up at verse 50, and Jesus, he's saying he's the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Make a note, Jesus came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus is saying that when you accept Christ into your life, you will never die. You will just transition into paradise. You can't add anything to it. You can't take away from it. You just have to receive the word of God. You have to receive Christ. He said he's come down from heaven. Make a note of that. Jesus didn't start off like us. He wasn't born like us. It was the Immaculate Conception. He came down from heaven. Verse 51, he said he's the living bread. I don't know how many bread eaters we have in here this morning, amen, but we've eaten bread that's been cooked. Jesus said he's the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is saying he is the Savior of the world. This is God's salvation plan. Either you can accept it or reject it, but it's God's plan. He came down from heaven. They're not understanding this because he's in the synagogue. He's in the Old Testament teaching the New Testament concept. They didn't get it. We should get it loud and clear. It sounds just like communion to us. Jews therefore argued among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What is he talking about? It didn't make sense. Is he a cannibal? They were really confused. They didn't understand God's salvation plan. They thought Jesus was trying to start a war and defeat the Romans because they were under persecution. He's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. Guaranteeing you, except you eat of my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink the blood, you have no life in you. Make a note of these concepts that Christ is talking about. He's saying, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you're not even alive. It's a tough word, if you're going to find out. So you have no life outside of Christ. That's tough. You look at people in going their day-to-day affairs. You look at people in your job. They're not in Christ. They look like they have a life, but they have no life. They are literally the walking dead. So Jesus goes on and on. Verse 54, he talks about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, to have eternal life in paradise. Everyone will live forever, but not everyone will live in paradise. So he's talking about the bread of life. John is speaking to them, speaking to the Jews and trying to let them know that Jesus is the Messiah. Family, we're talking about, we're not talking about prosperity and all this kind of stuff. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the end game. When all this is over, when the music stops and everything else fades, he's saying you got to go somewhere. You got to live forever. Either with Christ in paradise or you go to hell separated from God. He's trying to let us know that all this other stuff doesn't matter. That's a tough one. Because we all have goals and dreams and ambitions. He's not saying don't have that. He's saying, but it's going to come a day when all this is over. And only through Christ, through him dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us, comes eternal life. He could even say that all roads will lead to God because we all got to stand before God. But only one leads to life in paradise with Christ, and that's through Jesus Christ. All this other stuff doesn't mean nothing. Our job, our bank account, our degrees, all this time. And we just can't have this conversation when we're going to someone's funeral. We got to have it now. We got to come to grips with it, that it's going to be all over. And then that should dictate how I lead my life and what I share with others. Jesus has said, I'm the bread of life. This is real life. This is real living bread. So he's cutting through the chase. He's talking about the end game of life. Look what he says in verse 57. As the living Father, underline, God is living. We have so many distractions, we forget what's real and what's make-believe. And the world is so convincing that it's real, but it's really make-believe. Because we have a living Father. He sent Christ. He says, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. It's life, it's life, it's life through Christ and the Father. Don't get distracted. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Make a note again. Christ came down from heaven. So he's saying, you can say what you want to say, but no one else came down. We were all born. I don't care how many good men they were all born. Christ said, I came down from heaven. I didn't start like y'all started. And we need to stop listening to people who started like we started. And start listening to the one who came down from heaven and making it plain. Everybody else started like we started. You know, those co-workers who are telling you all kind of stuff while they just living and steeped in sin started like we started. Your drunk uncle who went all other kind of stuff and don't want to do whatever, he started like you and I started. They want to tell you how the word has been tampered with, but can't show you one scripture that's been tampered with. And you take them right to this and either they accept it or they reject it. You want to show me where it's been tampered with and let me show you what Jesus said, accept it or reject it. And when you stand before God, deal and live with your decision. Jesus didn't start like we started. Verse 58, this is that bread. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is that bread. Yeah, that thing. Just came down from heaven. And as your fathers did eat manna, regular bread, and are dead. It's a big difference. Stay away from the regular bread. There's a lot of regular bread out there that leads to death. He says, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. So then we pick it up, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Remember, he's in the synagogue. Jesus changed the game. And you might say, well, I don't believe Christ existed, but look how he changed the game. These people in the synagogue after his resurrection, they start going to church. You say, I don't have the evidence. What do you mean? The church is the perfect evidence. Otherwise, we'd still be in a synagogue. Why all of a sudden do these people who've been studying for, 4,000 years leave the synagogue and start a church? You need evidence? The church is evidence. Somebody just woke up and said, I got this bright idea. I'm going to start a church. Well, what is it going to be based on? Well, we're going to say that. We're not going to say anything. We're going to say what happened. Jesus Christ resurrected and said, go and teach people. So they started a church. And we're in it today because he resurrected. What more evidence do you need? All right. So he's in the synagogue in verse 59. And then look what happened in verse 60. All right. Here's today's message. Look what happened in verse 60. I got all this reading. I'm not... Sister Kathy, I'm going to read some stuff, but I got to get going now, okay? Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, man, this is a hard saying. Who can live like this? What do you mean? I want to do my thing. What do you mean I got to go through Christ? I really want to do it my... Man, this is a tough one. Look what Jesus said. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Are you offended because I told you got to live for Christ? That you can't do your own thing? That you're not the captain of your own ship? That you got to humble yourself before God and he'll lift you up? Does that offend you? You got a problem with Jesus being Lord and Savior and not you? Is this offending you because you want to go out and do your own thing? All right, I'm going to read this now. And let me ask you a question. Does Christ offend you? Because he's very offensive. If the world is loving you, then you're not representing Christ. Because they got to be offended when they say, well, you know what I'm going to do? Well, you know what? You know Jesus Christ died? Man, you need to stop talking that stuff to me. I do my own thing. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. God ain't never did nothing for me. I'm offended that you would even say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I'm offended. I'm trying to put that stuff on me. I don't believe none of it. Christ tells the Jews in the synagogue that they are only alive because of him. Christ is telling us that we are only alive because of him. This is offensive because it goes against the narrative of the culture then and now. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now. If you were to go up to someone on your job, at the gym, the grocery store, a billionaire, millionaire, TV star, YouTube star, an athlete, a politician, a CEO, a president, and some so-called Christians, and tell them you are dead in your sins and the only way that you can come alive to eternal life in paradise is through accepting Jesus Christ, they are offended. They would be offended because you're telling them their plan of salvation and their way of living is not enough. And it's incorrect in the eyes of God. Let me say that again. They're offended because you're telling them that their plan of salvation, see, people think they got a better plan of salvation than God. I'm a good person. I don't bother anybody. That's my plan of salvation. I got enough money. You just jealous because you broke. So you trying to kill my joy because you broke. And I'm rolling. I'm rich rolling. And you broke, so you hating on me. My plan of salvation is better than what you're talking about. They are offended because you're telling them that their plan of salvation and their way of living is not enough, and it's not correct in the eyes of God. Very offensive to the world. How dare you try and tell me how to live my life? Who do you think you are? I'm offended. This is a hard thing because Jesus is saying there's only one way to heaven with God the Father. Jesus is the door. We're going to get to the I am statement. He says, I am the door. Here's the revelation. You're taking notes. Well, let me finish this talk. It's a hard thing because it prevents us from doing our own thing. But I want to do what I want to do. I'm offended. Then we look for someone sent by Satan, which we talked about last week. The wheat and tares grow up together. They look alike. You can't tell the difference. Then we look for someone sent by Satan to support our backwards and satanic way of living so we can be comfortable in the sin that we choose to participate in. I refuse to exchange God's will for my will. Life has to be about me and me being happy. You know what? I deserve to be happy. I'm offended if anyone tells me anything different. Here's a revelation. Christ came from heaven, right? We read that, right? Either you accept it or you reject it. But Christ said he came down from heaven. I'm on my way to hell, and I'm offended. Christ created me and bought me with the price. Christ wants me to live according to his standard, but I'm offended that God Almighty would have the audacity to tell me how to live my life, the life that he gave me. I'm offended at his audacity. I'm smarter than God with the intelligence that he gave me. So here we are in verse 61. Jesus said, man, is this a vengeance? That you can't get to anywhere related to eternal life without me. Are you offended by this? So here's my question. Are you smarter than God, okay? Just think about it, all right? You're offended because you're smarter than God. I get that. You're smarter than the Word. You're smarter than the Bible. I understand that. That's why you're offended. Because the Bible was written by men. And so is everything else that you read. It's written by somebody. And you sit around watching social media all day telling you all this other stuff that was created by men. But the Bible is written by man, but it talks about your soul and your life, and you're offended. I get it. So are you offended by the Word of God? Are you smarter than God? Are you offended because you can't save yourself? Are you offended because you have to trust Christ for your eternal salvation? People are offended because they can't live their life the way they want to. Let's read it, Sister Kathy. I got to read it. People are offended because the Bible and the Word of God will not allow them to be comfortable in the sin that they are in. So here's the offended. Let me break it down in the Greek. Offended means it causes you to distrust the one you should trust. Offended also means cause to fall away, to displease, and to stumble, to hinder from acknowledging God's authority. All this is offended. And it says, as you are on your way to sin, does the Word of God trip you up? As you want to do your own thing, does the Word of God hinder you? Because you know better. And you're offended. All right. Did I tell y'all I love y'all this morning? What holiday we got? Happy 4th of July. Amen. What? Jesus said, you offended in this. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Underline that again. Jesus came. He's not on our level. We're not on the same level as Jesus. He said, how are you going to deal with it when you see me ascend up? And we know he ascended after speaking for 40 days to his disciples after the resurrection. Then they saw him ascend up. They had to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. So what you gonna do then when I ascend back up to heaven? You gonna be offended then? Jesus is trying to tell them, this is where I came from. I'm not like you. I don't teach the way you teach. And not to mention, you know, Jesus had just fed 5,000 of them. And then he asked them to live for him, and they have a problem. They didn't have a problem when they were eating the two fish and the five loaves of bread and having leftovers. They have a problem when he's providing and life is good, but then when it gets tough, then they're offended because they say, you got to live your life, right? You don't have a problem when you're making money, but you're offended when you have to pay your tithes. This is my money that God gave me. I'm offended that the church would even ask. It's just being obedient to the word. You don't have a problem when it's coming in and it's rolling in. And you know, we never play games and tricks and gimmicks for money, and we never will. And I'm saying this, if you're sitting in a ministry and you don't believe in it, you shouldn't be tithing. And if you're sitting in a ministry that you can't tithe, then you shouldn't even be there. But if you got to trust God, but I'm offended because this is my money. God got me up, gave me the strength to go to work, gave me the ability to think, to get a degree, or to get a job, and I'm offended that he would even ask me for anything. How dare God get in my business? How much money I got in my pocket? That's my business. That's not God's business. But not on God's level. Then he breaks it down in verse 63. It is the spirit that makes alive, and the flesh doesn't profit you anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is spirit and the word of God is life. The flesh doesn't profit anything. I don't have much to go on but my life growing up. When I was hanging out with the guys, all we did was fleshy stuff. We went to the liquor store. Brother Nick, you. We went to the liquor store. We got high. We went to get something to eat. You know how long that's going to profit you? Not long. That's all flesh. No spirit involved. Only death. He said the spirit, when you start doing spiritual things, family, that's what I'm saying. We have to get up every morning worshiping, praying, reading the word. Because that's what makes us alive. Not as a ritual, but because God is too much going on. I got to feed my spirit. Because when I walk out the door, the flesh is going to want to do what it wants to do. And I got to tell it, man, no, we're not doing that today. But did you see that? Yeah, I saw it, but I ain't doing it. Before you get out the bed, it's trying to, it'll come to you in your dream. And you wake up triggered. You better get right into the word. Because the spirit is what gives us life. And if you, all you're doing is just fleshly stuff, just think back last night. What was your flesh trying to tell you to do? And what did you do and what did you fight off? Because of the spirit. We ain't gonna even get into next week. Last week, when you were growing up. Let's just talk about last night. The only thing that profits is the spirit. Matter of fact, JL, take us to Galatians 6. And 7. So Paul is saying the same thing that Christ is saying. It's a battle. Somewhere in the word it says what the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if you don't, you know which one is the strongest? What do they say? You know those saying, which one is the strongest, right? The spirit or the flesh. I'm going to tell you. You want to know which one is the strongest? Thank you. Whichever one you think you want. Whichever one you feed. If you're not feeding your spirit, your flesh is killing you. And it's leading you to death and you don't even know it. You think you got it going on. You think you got everybody fooled. You think you're doing your own thing. Galatians 6 and 7. Look what Paul said. Woo! Better stop fooling yourself. I'm sorry, that's my translation. Be not deceived. You're not going to make a fool out of God. That's what Paul is saying right now. Jesus, the same thing Jesus is saying. Be not deceived. You're not going to make a fool out of God. So whatever man soweth, that shall he reap. We talked about it last week, sowing and reaping. And here he's saying, whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. Next verse, Jay. For if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. All right? Keep eating, drinking, getting high, sleeping around, is going to end up in corruption. You're going to be corrupted. Ask me, just look around. Keep feeding your flesh, is going to get so strong, it's going to lead you right to death. But if you feed into your spirit, of the spirit, you're going to get everlasting life. You're going to have the abundant life now. This is why they said, man, this is a hard saying, man. Jesus, dude, he's talking way too deep for us right now. This is a hard saying. Of course, it was then and it is now. It's not going to get any easier. Family, I wish I could tell you get a title like pastor and then your life just gets on easy street. I'm a pastor. I don't have any problems. I'm a pastor. I don't even sin anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I walk around smiling every day going, praise the Lord. This is a hard saying, family. We're all in this together. As I'm studying this, God's giving it to me. That's why I'm reading it. Just like he's giving it to me, I'm giving it to you. So you understand, we walking together. I ain't going to be the only one trying to do this. I ain't going to be the only one trying to live a life biblically correct. Not politically correct, biblically correct. I'm not offended because I understand I got to humble myself before God. Because other than that, I'm going to go right back to death. I'm not trying to do that. It's not where I'm trying to lead us, myself or my family. It's tough, Brother Jerry and I was talking. It's a difference between a man and a male. It's a difference. A man is trying to live this thing through Christ. A male don't care. He'll flip-flop. He'll change colors. He'll be a chameleon. He'll do anything that whatever says goes, he'll do that. He has no standard. God puts us on the highest level. Let's go back to John in 6:64. Look what he says, though. Man. If you there, say amen. We always come back to this. Look what he says. But there are some of you that don't trust me. You can't get away from it. We'll walk out of here and say, man, that was a good message, but I got to do my own thing. I don't trust God. And we could say we love God and we do, but I don't trust God. Remember, that's an abnormal relationship. It doesn't work. And we have them with people on our job. I love them with the love of Christ, but I don't trust them. I know I'm not going to hang out with you. No, I'm not. I don't trust you. We have them with members of our own family. I love my family. But I don't know what they're going to do. If it come down to it, I'm calling one of my brothers. My Christian brothers. One of my brothers right in here. Who I know I love and I trust. It's a big difference. And you all know in a relationship, the biggest thing in a relationship, number one, is trust. You can't be in a relationship with someone you don't trust. You all jacked up. You at home, they going out of town on business, and you can't sleep. You can't do nothing. What they doing, where they at, you got to text them 5 times a day. You got the GPS tracker on them, the car on their cell phone, and this, that, the other. Why you didn't call me? Why? That's a messed up relationship. That's not a relationship. Stop fooling yourself. Move on. If you're doing all that, you got a problem. You tripping. And if you can't trust Jesus, then you got to move on. And good luck with that. Do your own thing. Because he says in 64, there are some of you, you still don't. You don't give. You don't pray. You don't read. You don't ask me about nothing. You don't trust me. you don't seek my face on any major decisions that you make. You're offended because I'm asking you to live on a certain level. You don't trust me. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Oh, boy. Some of you refuse to trust God. We have the same decision to make that they had to make 2019 years ago. Nothing has changed. Fed you, blessed you, and you still don't trust me. It says we want to snatch the blessings with no relationship or accountability. God, just bless me. I don't want to, don't even talk to me. I just want to come over when I want to come over. I ain't trying to have no conversation with you. I ain't trying to build no relationship with you. I was doing counseling with a young man and a young, I never reveal names, but I reveal situations maybe to help someone. They've been together 7 years. We grew up with them in a ministry when they were kids and we grew up with their parents. So she reaches out to me and says, my boyfriend wants me to move in with him. We've been together 7 years. Could you meet with him and I and your wife and I? Out of the blue, they don't go to this ministry. I ain't heard from them since she was 10 years ago. But yeah, they used to come over, sleepovers with Jamaica's friend, the girl's 28. So, you know, but she, for some reason, God put us on their heart, or her, us on her heart. So I sat down with the young man, and he said, I don't see myself getting married for at least another 10 years. Oh, no, I'm not. I wish I could make this up, Anthony. Been together 7 years. She's 28. He's like, man, I don't see myself getting married for another 10 years. Does she know that? See, I just want you to come move in with me. I ain't trying to really have nothing deep with you. I just want the benefits, you know, but I ain't really, we don't even need to talk. You go to work. I go to work. If I need something, I get it, and that's it. But we don't need no relationship. That's where we try and play God. Jesus said, you don't really want to marry me. You just want to fool around with me when you get in trouble. But then when you get blessed, I don't even see you. You just want to come in late at night and nudge me and say, what's going on? And say, okay. And then you want to get up and leave the next day. Oh, but it gets better. Look at this. It says we want to snatch, let me finish this, we want to snatch the blessings with no relationship or accountability, and having no, try and raise your children like that. It gets ugly real fast. Just give them whatever they want. I don't even want it. Y'all just, whatever you need, just come see me when you need something, and then y'all do your own thing. See how that goes. And then verse 64 says, Christ knows which one of us is going to walk out of here and betray him. And betray means to sell out for money or some other sin that we want to sow into our flesh and going to later reap the corruption. He knows which one. God, Lord, you know I'm going to walk out of here and still do my own thing. Verse 65, we're only drawn to him because of the Father. He said, therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So God prompts us to run to Christ. But look at verse 66. From that point, ooh, it's so tough. And if you want to get up and leave now, I get it. Because look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more. Man, I ain't got a heart. Man, I ain't really trying to get that deep with you like that. They couldn't handle it. And y'all know we can't handle it either. So if you say, Pastor, you preaching the word, it's a little too tough. I ain't trying to get with Christ like that. I understand. I want to see you get up and leave now. Okay, all right. That's the baby. All right, the baby's leaving. All right. So, but man, this is tough. This is tough. Look at Jesus. Then said Jesus, it gets good. I'm going to wrap this up. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? See, Some chose not to follow Christ because he offends them. God's standard has offended them. I should be able to do whatever I want. I shouldn't have to ask God for permission to live my life. Many went back away. Many went back. To turn back meant away. Ooh, here you go, Brother Jerry. Back to the bondage. Away to the wilderness. Away to the waywardness. Moonwalked right back into the wilderness because I ain't dealing with Christ. Many went. Hey. So here's the question. Here's the eternal life question this morning. Will you go away also? Will you go back to him or her? And since we're in Long Beach, or will you go back to both? Hey, let me ask the question. Here's the question. Where would you go? Back to the world? And family, I have this written down. It says, it's so hard to go back to sin and death once you have become alive in Christ. If you ain't become alive in Christ, then you good. You just doing what you do. But once you get alive in Christ, you see it coming. Even if you do it, you're like, ugh. You don't even enjoy it no more, whatever your vice is. Verse 68, Peter answered, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You done spoke life, Lord. Where will we go? So here's my question to you. That's what Peter's saying. Where would I go? What would I worship? If you're not worshiping Christ, what you going to worship? Who would I trust? Who would open and close doors for me and for my life? Who would be my refuge? Where would I go? Who's going to be my refuge? What would I trust? My bank account? My politics? My political party? Oh, my college degree. I can trust that. Your good looks? Your money? Your network? Oh, you know what, man? My network is so... I'm going back to my network. My family, my friends. Peter's saying, where would I go? Who would I trust? Peter says, now, Christ, now that you've opened my eyes, who else is greater than you? And so, family, let me ask you this. As we get these tough situations, where are you going to go? What's in your rearview mirror that you keep glancing at that you want to go back? Where would you, are you really want to, you keep glancing at it in your rear view, but do you want to go back to it? Where would you go? What's in the rear view that you just got to get back to? Peter says, now that you've opened my eyes, who else is greater than you? Family, remember, we're talking life and death. We're not talking stuff. We're talking about when we transition, where do we go? He says, Christ, you came from heaven. You created everything. And we believe you. We trust you. Where would we go? Who else is greater than God in the flesh living amongst us? That's what he's saying. You're God right here in the middle of. Who else is greater than that? Look what he says. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I now know that there is life after death. You came from heaven, you're making it plain. Verse 69, make a note of it. And we believe and are sure. We trust you and we know. Underline that, family. Pray on that, meditate all week. Do I trust God and do I know? I'm sure that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you sure this morning? Let me cut on the air condition because it's either I'm getting hot or it's getting hot in here. I got a few more minutes. I don't want y'all to fall asleep at the end of the movie. All right. Look at verse 70. Peter, in verse 69, Peter says, we trust and believe in you. We are confident that you are who you say you are. we will live like we know you are the Christ. Then they say, watch my lifestyle. So make a note. He says, we trust and believe. What they used to say, true, you better trust and believe, right? It's been in the scripture a long time ago, okay? Nobody has nothing new under the sun. You better trust and believe. That's what Peter said, we trust and believe. What are you trusting this morning? All right, here's another revelation, verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? So here's the revelation with that. Christ can choose you, but you don't have to choose to follow Christ. It could be a call on your life, but you don't have to choose it. You can run from it. You don't have to choose to follow Christ. I don't care you grew up in church. I don't care. Christ can have a call on your life. Look at what it says, what I've written. Christ can choose you, but you don't have to choose to follow Christ. You can still choose to live a reckless and raggedy life. You can be chosen by God and influenced by Satan. It's your choice. That's something. I'm chosen by God, but I choose to be influenced by Satan and live a reckless and raggedy life. All fleshly, no spirit. And you've been chosen. Verse 71, he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12, and sell him out for some money, 30 pieces of silver. You can sell Christ out for money or any other thing that brings your flesh pleasure. You can sell Christ out because God's way of life offends you. Man, I'm offended that God would want me to live a disciplined life. Make a note, Jesus is the bread of life. It's your choice to eat the bread and drink of the wine, which means accept Christ and live forever in paradise. Accept Christ and trust and believe in God for your future today. So I got this last note. I'm asked to... the praise team to come up and just give me a song. But here's what I want to leave you with, family, before we pray. It says, family, through the ups and downs and struggles. All right, you all listening? All right. Here's the bottom line. And John, before you all play, let me give them the bottom line, and then we're going to pray together. Family, through the ups and the downs and the struggles, stay committed to Christ. Let me say it again, because we all going through. We're not going, let's not even pretend. I'm so glad I don't have to pretend. We don't have to pretend in here. We have our men's meeting on Saturday, the second Saturday. We have our men's meeting before service start. We don't pretend nothing. But through the ups and the downs, stay committed to Christ. Get your life back in biblical perspective. Put on your spiritually mature shoes and start working in the purpose and plan that God has for your life. Yes, there will be tribulation. Yes, affliction. It's going to be life and death and everything else that comes. But stay committed to Christ, because Jesus is the bread of life. Don't get to the finish line and go to hell. Stay committed. Deal with it. It's the process. Humble yourself. Humble in the Greek means to humiliate yourself because of Christ. Let them laugh at you. Let them call you soft and a punk and a sissy and a weirdo. It's okay. Humiliate yourself. And at the right time, God will lift you up. Put on your spiritually mature shoes. Start walking in purpose in the plan that God has for your life. Pray and seek God daily, not as a ritual, but as a relationship with the true and living God. Seek God for his plan and purpose that he has for your life. Every morning you should be praying, God, show me the plan and the purpose you have for my life. I know you want me to make disciples. That's the purpose. Show me how to do it. God, show me what you have planned for my life, God. Show me why you created me, God. I don't just want to go through life. dealing with foolishness and not knowing why you created. There's a reason you still have me here. God, show me, make it plain. Should be your prayer every morning. And I just want us to just stand and lift your hands in worship. Just lift your hands as we play the song, and I'll pray, then we'll dismiss. We're out of here. Bring your heart to the altar of God. Figuratively, just focus on God. Rededicate your life this morning. Reconnect your heart to God's heart. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Lord. Jesus is calling.